If you're like a lot of people, you might be reevaluating your life, thinking about where you find meaning and how you spend your time. The Pew Research Center took a look at two surveys where they asked Americans where they find meaning in life. The surveys were 4 years apart, one in 2017, the other in 2021. They found some big, sometimes puzzling, changes. For example, people say they place less importance on their jobs. They're looking instead to the society around them, for better or worse. One of the biggest drops, fewer people said their spouse or romantic partner was a key source of meaning in their lives. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. One, do you think about this? Do you think about where you go to find meaning in your life? If so, what is it? What gives your life meaning? Is it family, faith, job, recreational activities? I don't know. You tell us. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Andrew Taggart is a practical philosopher and meditation teacher. He grew up in Platteville, finished his PhD at UW-Madison. Andrew, welcome back to Central Time.
So wonderful to be here, Rob. Thank you very much for having me.
The good news is we're not sorting out the meaning of life, but talking about how we find meaning in our lives. First of all, Andrew, why is it worthwhile for us to think about that, to think about what gives our lives meaning?
Meaning is probably the most basic question we can ask. And all of us ask this question at one point or another. Anytime a hardship arises, anytime we wonder about our relationships, anytime we're not sure about the way our life is heading, we're invariably asking the question about what it is that makes our life meaningful. You can't not ask this question at one point or another, it seems to me.
What kind of things do you find as the most common answers to that? Where do you see people going, either from the realm of philosophy or in their daily lives, that helps people find that meaning?
Yeah, let me begin very philosophically with a provisional definition so as to ground our discussion.
Sure.
So let me say that meaning, provisionally understood, refers to being in touch or in contact with some greater reality. I'm leaving off filling in what that greater reality is, but that will allow us to account for people who believe that being engaged in certain political causes is meaningful, or those who are involved in ecological matters, or indeed those who are involved in their faith. So what we're trying to do there is to ascertain whether or not someone actually is in contact with some greater reality. So I tend to find that, since I speak with a kind of subset of the population, that people are really turning quite incredibly right now toward religion and spirituality. But these are not the only answers they would give.
Now, this Pew study I mentioned, I don't know quite what to make of it. One thing that they didn't ask about is faith and spirituality. I think it's kind of rolled into a general social meaning kind of question. But what was interesting, it was kind of a pre-pandemic and in the midst of the pandemic survey. And one big drop was in, you know, people seeking satisfaction or meaning in their jobs, in their work lives. Does that strike you as surprising at all?
You're feeding me this question. We've talked about work in relation to meaning before, I think, some years ago. So no, it doesn't really strike me as surprising. I thought what was surprising, like you, though, is that many of the metrics they used or the categories used all suggest that people were down on it. They were down on society being a source of meaning, down on spouses and romantic partners being a source, down on finances and jobs, and down on physical and mental health, at least in the case of those who are older. So I think what we're starting to see here, and we can loop back in a moment to jobs, if you like, is a great sense of confusion that's coming over people, a great sense of perhaps being a bit lost when it comes to these matters. As a philosopher, I tend to think this is actually a blessing, a good thing, because it's confusion that helps us to actually reconsider, reevaluate the question so as to ask the question afresh. Wait, if it's not the case that, say, jobs are going to be the source of meaning in my life, then what will be? It opens up a space for genuine inquiry, I would say.
On the practical side of your practical philosophering, if someone is feeling that sense of, you know, maybe rudderlessness or the things that they thought were important not feeling so important anymore, what kind of questions can we start asking ourselves in that situation to chart maybe a new path?
So the first thing we can do there is to say something like, well, have we understood that Let's take jobs. I once thought someone might say that having an important career is going to be the basis for my life. And now I've come to realize that it is not. So what the person needs to start asking is, if that's not the case, then what could it be? And usually the person will go on to the next common category. It'll be relationships, as you just saw. So you might ask, well, what about relationships can make my life meaningful? And the person can start digging in there. But what if it's the case that someone has doubts about that? Then we'll start to see what looks like in the East called neti neti, which is an approach called not this, not this. it's not pleasant. In the West, we call it the way of negation. But that starts to generate a real keen interest in continuing to deepen the inquiry. And what you'll find is that if you do so with enough earnestness, that the answer will come. Now, the answer may be surprising to you. It might not be available to you at the outset, but the answer will arise.
We're talking to Andrew Taggart, a practical philosopher. You can follow him online. He blogs as The Practical Philosopher. We are talking about finding meaning in our lives. And we want to know, what does that mean to you? You could join in at 800-642-1234. When you look around at the different parts of your lives, a career, a family, faith, involvement in maybe a political or ecological or other issue, what is it? What is it that you feel like gives your life meaning or direction? Or are you still trying to figure that out? If so, you are certainly not alone. You can join in with your thoughts, your reflections, maybe your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Andrew, getting back to that Pew study, one thing that was kind of interesting and maybe a little puzzling, more people from 2017 to 21 cited society or institutions or things like that as a source of meaning in their lives, but at the same time saying in kind of a negative way. They were worried about those things and finding, I don't know, them driven away from those kind of institutions. What did you make of that?
Oh, well, there's a longstanding issue when it comes to institutional life in the United States. But I think we can go back really to the onset of modernity and see, most especially, particularly after the German-English Enlightenment, that we have become increasingly skeptical of institutions as being that which is authoritative over our lives. And certainly this got ramped up after Vietnam. So I don't know if this is quite surprising from a broad point of view, from a historical point of view. But if I can speak a little bit more concretely, my intuition would be to say also that people, especially during lockdowns, especially during a time when things have become more digitized, as it were, are actually experiencing a great deal of alienation from others, right? From the sentient, the contact with other beings. And you can say there's a certain kind of smallness of life that many of us have experienced, a kind of insularity. So we look on the outside and see that there is war in the Ukraine, that there is inflation. We have a certain abstract sense that society matters, but the capacity to be in touch with other sentient beings, I think, is gone missing. So I would call that kind of following this line of thought alienation. And therefore, I would say people would cite society as being quite important. At the same time, they would say, however, it's had a negative impact on the life that I'm leading.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dan is with us in Stevens Point. Dan, hi.
Hi there. What gives meaning to my life is I'm giving meaning to, which is my work on climate change. I am a volunteer, have been for 10 years, with Citizens Climate Lobby here in Wisconsin. It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working to keep this a livable planet. And I can't think of anything more important to do. All of us are going to feel the impact of climate change if we haven't already, and many of us have already. We need to work together, people of all parties, all religions, all backgrounds, to bring this under control for the good of the planet and for the good of all the people on it.
Dan, thanks a lot for calling in and sharing that. Andrew, that idea of seeing a problem in the world, getting together with others, and then working to solve a problem. That you were touching on that earlier as one definite possible path for us to find meaning.
That's right. And the caller, Dan, I believe it is, mentioned that what brings it all together is that we wish to live on a livable planet. So if I may come back just for a moment to the understanding of a meaningful life, I would say that Dan, it seems, is living a meaningful life in virtue of having found something basic, something quite real, that pulls many dimensions of his life together and gives it a central organizing function. That, I think, is a characteristic formal feature, what we notice in people who report on having lived meaningful lives.
Dan, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Andrew Taggart, author and practical philosopher, has a PhD from UW-Madison, talking with Andrew about where and how people find meaning in their lives and how that might have changed over time. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you think about or have thought about? Did you change what you thought about the meaning in your life? What led to that change? Is there something that you would point to of the things you do, the people you interact with? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Andrew Taggart, a philosopher, talking about how and why people find meaning in their lives, how that might have changed maybe during the course of the pandemic for some people. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Over the course of the pandemic, did you rethink some big aspect of your life? Did something that used to seem important become less important to you? What filled that gap? What to you gives meaning in your life, your daily life, or the big picture? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Andrew, sometimes reading the work of the big philosophers doesn't feel very practical while you're doing it. Do you have any sources of inspiration you might point toward for people, you know, thinking about this search for meaning in our lives?
Oh, certainly. I think one of the big philosophers here is the one that everyone listening would be familiar with, and that would be Socrates. Socrates was inviting us over and over and over again to ask these basic questions, like what is piety? What is virtue? What is justice? What is a good life? And he also helped us to see that we need to examine these matters very closely. And one of the things that's very interesting about the Socratic life is that he was arguing that the examination of the life is a key feature of meaningfulness. And I found that to be true myself. So if anyone listening finds that he or she or they are starting to turn over these matters and to make better sense of them, then this one is starting to find that meaning itself is already arriving on the scene.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hey. I taught middle school for 37 years, and I've been substituting post the pandemic. And one of the things that is conflicting for me is that the kids I'm working with seem to not really feel that there's much meaning to their existence. Outside of both technology and you know, they're really struggling with interpersonal relationships with one another. Kind of the rise of bullying, anti-empathy, and I'm just interested in what your guest has to say about that.
Jim, thanks for the call. The younger generation, Jim was working with middle schoolers there, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is certainly a modern tradition of thought that goes by the name of philosophy for kids. So, not unsurprisingly, this is a really great age in order to begin asking these big questions. So, in lieu of assuming that the kids know the answer to the question about what is meaningful, it can be raised directly. If they're open to it, you can ask them things like, is chocolate cake meaningful? Is eating chocolate cake meaningful? Or is finishing a workout, which seems to be fulfilling, the same as being meaningful? That would be an interesting place to begin. And if you could begin to clarify what meaningfulness is, then you can begin to ask about the sorts of things that actually count as meaningful. For one thing, we really notice about people leading meaningful lives is that they have a clear sense of direction. Not that they're myopic or blindsided, but that they seem really focused, that there is something about their lives that gives it a kind of order, a harmony, a clarity. And so it would also be good, as part of the exercise at hand, to begin to point to some of those examples, to find some really wonderful, shining examples of people who ostensibly are leading meaningful lives, for the children to contemplate, to ponder, to see whether that is actually applicable to them.
Jim, hope that gives you some ideas if you go back to substituting in the fall. We're talking to philosopher Andrew Taggart about how we find meaning in our lives. Still time for you to share your answers at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Andrew, you were talking about the idea of the examined life and why we should ponder these questions and think about them. I think some people might say, no, my key to happiness is figuring out how to live in the moment and not be burdened with that kind of thinking. Is there something there?
I have a Zen Buddhist background too, so I can understand that reply. I would put the matter this way in order to split the difference between these two camps. If things are really going along swimmingly, if you're gardening, then you're gardening. If you're eating presently, then you're eating presently. If you're with others and you're attending to them, then you're with others and attending to them. This is really Zen speak, if you've heard a version of it before. However, there are times in our lives when confusions and bewilderments are really just tossed into the air, when we seem to be spun about. And at those times, Socrates would say, you might wish to examine what exactly is going on. So that's the way I would split the difference. I would say that if things are just carrying on nicely, if you are wu wei, as the Taoists would say, you're just flowing along with activities, things are intuitively clear to you, artistically clear to you, then so be it. But at those very moments, when things seem quite unclear, we have this wonderful gift bestowed to us. That is a gift of self-examination, the gift of being able to examine on our own and with others these matters so as to come to some resolution about them.
I want to throw in another state of being that I think probably a lot of people find familiar. It's not that sort of flow where you're present in the moment. It's not that conscious self-examination. It's, let's call it distraction. You're zooming down your social media feed or, you know, mindlessly watching a show after show. I'm not criticizing. I'm talking about me here. Andrew, that doesn't seem to me, when I'm doing it, like a healthy thing. How do I get myself into one of those other modes?
Well, hopefully, since we have a little bit of a Zen spirit at the moment, hopefully you will like a Zen joke. I once went to a teacher not too long ago, in fact, at the beginning of the pandemic, and I asked a question. It was different from that one. And he said, "You just stop it." He had kind of a French English accent, if you can imagine that too. "You just stop it." Which is not entirely off the mark. This is basically the essence of meditation. We actually do have to be alert to or mindful of the ways in which we are wandering, dissipating our energy, losing our sense of what it is that matters to us. We have to be quite vigilant on that score. And then we just come back to what it is that truly does matter. So there's a reorientation that takes place over and over again. If you do that with the right effort often enough, with appropriate effort often enough, you'll find that the level of distractions will diminish and the capacity to really hone in on, to lock in on, to open yourself up to what is fundamentally meaningful will be clear to you, will be clear to you in your actual experience.
Time for one more quick call with Steve in East Troy. Steve, hi.
Hi. You've been talking about meaning as a kind of a subjective thing that we make. I'd like to talk about it also as an objective thing that we don't make. For example, it comes out of the context of literature, and the meaning of a sentence, whether it makes you feel good or bad, has to do with how it fits in the larger context. Mm-hmm. And doesn't our meaning come not just from our making, but also is given to us or is discovered from the larger context, and it's kind of independent in that sense from how it makes us feel, whether
Steve,
good or bad?
Steve, I gotcha. I have to cut you off, Andrew. A huge question with about 40 seconds to answer it.
Oh, wow. Well, I actually agree with Steve. I was going off of the Pew Research, which was asking about how you find something right, meaningful, fulfilling, or satisfying. But I'm actually in the objective camp. Hence, the definition very briefly was being in contact with something that is some greater reality. So I do think that we need to keep turning toward the objective conditions of life so as to find ourselves at rest in something larger than ourselves.
Steve, thanks for that question. And Andrew, thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much for having me back.
Andrew Taggart is a practical philosopher and meditation teacher. He grew up in Platteville, finished his PhD at UW-Madison. We talked about the ways we find meaning in our lives, how it's changing for some people according to surveys, and where to find it.